I don't think human lips have ever been able to speak how great God really is. But someday, I suspect we'll all find out how great God is. I want to read a few verses of Scripture. May read a little bit more today than I normally do. But I want you to listen to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read first from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then I want to go over to verse 26, or down to verse 26, and continue to read. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world is cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And then I'm going to turn over to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John and read verses 7 through 13. Again, Jesus speaking, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come." Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it will be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to talk to you today for just a few moments of time. And I want to use as my subject the way the Spirit works in the church. The way the Spirit works in the church. Again, I want to ask that you pray for me, that God will help me today and give me leadership and direction, and that I might be able to do His will in this service. It's a very strange thing that is going on in our world today. Very, very strange. The nation is divided. The values that most of us grew up with are no longer being recognized and observed by many, many people. I don't mean a few people, I mean by many people. Wickedness and violence is everywhere. And lawlessness and criminals are protected, and law enforcement people are restrained. Isn't that strange? That is really strange. And yet it's the truth. And the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, about the conditions of the latter days. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And his advice was, "From such, turn away." So the Apostle Paul, realized, and I believe that he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is just as true what Paul wrote as what Jesus said, because Paul was speaking by inspiration of God. The Bible tells us this, that, it's in the third chapter and verse, maybe 15, I believe it is. But he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so I believe that Paul knew what he was talking about. And I believe that you and I are, at this present time in history, we are seeing the fulfillment of those very things that Paul wrote about. And so, in these evil days in which we live, Jesus knew they were coming. And so he said, I said that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would teach us, and the Holy Spirit would guide us, and the Holy Spirit would instruct us as the people of God. He said, the world don't know the Holy Spirit. And so they ignore, the words of God, and they ignore the teachings of Jesus. They ignore the prophecies refer to the times in which we live, the latter days. And they are perilous times. And so the Holy Spirit, he promised that he would give the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus gave the commission, I hope I can connect all this up in a way you can understand it. But, Jesus came and lived in the world, and he established his church. And before he ascended back to heaven, he gave them the worldwide commission. And that commission was, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That means make disciples of all nations. Brother Curtis, that's why we broadcast and send the gospel around the world to the best of our ability. It's because we were commanded to do it. And so I'm glad that God not only loves, American people, he loves all people, you know. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to hear the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe it. And so he said, "Now you go teach all nations." He said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And then he said, "Lo, I am with you all the way, even until the end of the age." So even in perilous times and in dangerous times, such as we're living in today, we can be assured that the Lord is still with us. He said he'd be with us all the way, even to the end of the world. And so he keeps that promise. Luke records for us in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. Now, he had already ascended. He had already been risen from the dead. And just before his ascension, he stood on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were there with him. And Jesus said unto them, he said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I want to go over there just for a moment, because I might not have quoted that just exactly right. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, he was having reference to the promise that he and his Father had made concerning the Holy Spirit that was to come. And Jesus, after he went back to heaven, he did send the promise of his Father. And that's recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm not going to take time to go there and talk about all of that. But he did send the Holy Spirit back. And he said, "You shall receive power from on high." The word power, it not only means authority. Jesus, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And so that meant authority. He had all authority to give that great commission. And that he gave that authority to the church. And not only did he give authority for us to do this, but he gave us power. He gave us the ability. He gave us the capacity to do what he wants us to do. And that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're all aware that without the help of God, everything that we do would be fruitless. We would not accomplish anything on our own, regardless of how talented we might be. Regardless of how well we may have been trained to do the things that we do, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't accomplish anything in the kingdom work of God. And that's the important thing. I'm trying to talk about the way the Spirit works in the church and through the church. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said that we were made able ministers by the grace of God. You know, we're not, we don't have the ability on our own. Oh, we can tell you what the Bible says. We can read it, you know, but we cannot make it effective in the hearts and lives of people. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He says that God made us able ministers. That is, He gave us the ability to carry out His word and carry out His will with the assurance that He would provide the grace necessary and the power that was necessary for it to be effective. I wanted you to think about this. Shortly after Jesus was baptized, He did that to fulfill all righteousness and to set the example for believers. You know, He was going to set up a church that was made up of baptized believers. And He was going to be the head of the church. And He was, and He is. And so it became necessary for Him to set the example for all other believers, you know. For every child of God, the next step once you've been saved is to be baptized. And you are baptized by the authority of the church that Jesus set up. But that's another subject, maybe for another day. But Jesus, after He was baptized, He began to call followers. Now you just think about the unlikeliness of what Jesus was doing. He was just calling common men, you know. They were just uneducated, unlearned as far as religion is concerned. They had no training. They had not been to seminary. They had not been to college. Nothing like that, you know. They were fishermen. They just got in their boats and went out to sea and let down the nets, you know, and pulled them in. And then they had washed their nets, you know, just humdrum kind of laborers and maybe humdrum kind of people. But Jesus called them and He said, follow Me. You just follow Me. I'll do something for you if you'll just follow Me. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He said, I'll give you the ability. I'll give you the power. I'll supply everything that you need if you'll just follow Me. That was the requirements. Just follow Me. I still believe that the Holy Spirit works through people that will follow the Lord, that are willing to follow the Lord. Jesus, you know, He said that in the Gospels, and it's recorded in more than one place. But Jesus said, no man can be My disciple if he's not willing to take up the cross and follow Me. Willingness. Just willingness to just yield our lives into the hands of God. And He can take us and He can use us. You know, if we just supply the willingness, He'll supply everything else that's needed. And I truly believe that. And He does it through His Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And you can't see Him. You cannot see Him. The way we follow the Holy Spirit is by faith. We can't follow Him by sight because we can't see Him. But we can follow Him by faith, depending on Him and trusting in Him and just, surrendering our lives to Him, for Him to use us in whatever way and whatever manner that may be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. And so those fishermen, they began to follow Jesus. And they began to catch men. They began to catch men for the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, it is powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce to the dividing of the sunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joint and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is so powerful. And when the Holy Spirit wields that, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, I don't remember the verse, but Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. And he talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet, which is the hope of salvation. And he talked about having your loins girded about with truth, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he said, taking the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You see, when we present the gospel, the Holy Spirit can take that gospel and He can open hearts. And He can speak to the heart. And He can show us our heart and what's in it. You know, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Well, you know, God's Holy Spirit can just open up a heart. And He can let you see what you are. You know, I remember very well the first time I ever felt condemned, never felt lost. I was sitting in Beaver Creek Baptist Church over in Barron County, Kentucky. And Brother Chris Ellis was preaching. And you know, I had never even thought about being lost or dying and going to hell or nothing like that. And all of a sudden, the Lord made me aware that I was a sinner. That I wasn't right in the sight of God. That there was something lacking in my life. And He let me know if I died, that I would spend eternity in the region of the damned. Now that's what the Holy Spirit can do. You know, you can preach from the Word of God, and you can preach about hell and all of those things. But it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit, to make that real and to help an individual to turn from their sins and to get right with God. You know, that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the unseen. We sing that song sometimes about the unseen hand. He is present. He's present with us. And He's looking for willing people. He's looking for people that's willing. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to do Your will. You know, but anyway, that unseen power, that's the very same power that the Bible tells us on the day of the first day of creation, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void. Empty, you know. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You know. And God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. The very same Spirit that day moved upon the face of the deep and upon this world that was without form and void and was full of darkness. Oh, that same Spirit can speak to a heart that is void, that is empty, that is full of darkness. And I tell you, that Spirit can move upon that heart. And God can speak the word and light floods into that soul. And you know, the Bible said in John, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the life of men." And I might not have quoted that right. Probably didn't. I think I got some of the words turned around. And this is what it said. "In Him was life." You know, that's where Adam, he got his life. That's where that body of dust that was formed. That's where it got its light. Its life was from the Lord. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves in the heart that is black with sin, my friend, that darkness cannot keep that light from shining. He dispels the darkness and He floods the soul with wonderful light, glorious light. So I want to get back. I may have got off my subject a little bit, but I want to get back to it. And this Holy Spirit, He sent it to the church, to the people of God. It is our source of strength and our source of power and our source, my friend, for reaching lost people. And we need that power, and it is readily available. It is available. And I want to emphasize again, it just requires willingness. Just requires willingness. You know, the world today, with all of the attractions, you know, it's affected us. You know it? It sure has. We've gotten used to the dark, as I think the McCameys used to sing, you know. We live in the midst of it. A lot of the things that a few years ago shocked us, you know. And today, it's the norm, you know. And we just, you know, it's not offensive to us like it should be. I tell you, sin is offensive to God. God hates sin. And we should hate sin also. We should hate sin also. But anyway, He said, "I'll give you power. I'll give you power." And we have power on the day of Pentecost. You know, that Holy Spirit came and it filled the room where they were sitting. I would to God that His Spirit would fill this room this morning. They acted a little strange that day. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people that saw this, some of them said, well, they're drunk. That's what's the matter with them. They're drunk. Peter said, they're not drunk. This is just the third hour of the day. This is the fulfillment of that promise made by Joel, or that prophecy made by Joel many, many years ago, how that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. They were full of the Spirit. And those preachers, they began to preach the gospel and in languages that they had never learned. You talk about power. You talk about being enabled. You talk about God using them. There's no humanly possible way that they could have done what they'd done. They just, you know, by the Holy Spirit, they were enabled. And so it wasn't them that did it, folks. It was the Holy Spirit that did it, I assure you. It was the Holy Spirit. And they preached the gospel, and people began to get saved, you know. The presence of the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the hearts and lives of people. I tell you, God can do wonderful things. So we need, as preachers that have been called to preach, we need to preach the word, you know. We need to do it in faith. I believe it'll work, you know. I'm totally convinced. I have no doubt in the world that we're doing the right thing and doing it the right way. I believe that. We're preaching the gospel, and we're doing it by faith. And we're dependent on the Lord to make it effective. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit to reach the hearts of lost people and bring them to Jesus. And so we preach, and we do it in faith. But dear friends, I love every one of you all. You know that I do. But you know, God intended that not only preachers communicate the wonderful works of God. He intended for every child of God to communicate the wonderful works of God. The psalmist said, oh, that men would praise the Lord and that they would speak of the wonderful works of God. God wants us all to be witnesses. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said as He was just getting ready to ascend, He had already been out of the grave 40 days, and He had showed Himself alive to many, many people. Above 500 at one time saw Him. And He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. It wasn't trickery. It wasn't magic. It was the power of God. And He showed Himself alive. And He said unto the disciples, just before He rose and ascended into heaven, He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And He said, but now you tarry in Jerusalem until that power comes. And they went to the upper room and they continued in prayer. I believe they was praying for the fulfillment of that promise. They was wanting that Holy Spirit to come and to abide with them. That Holy Spirit that would teach them. That Holy Spirit that would instruct them. And you know, they were with one mind and one accord. They wasn't all divided. They were united. United in truth. I've read one time where somebody said it's better to be divided on truth than it is to be united in heresy. Now you think about that. They were united in truth. They were one mind and one accord. And they were together. And that Holy Spirit came. And what a day that was when the Holy Spirit came. And you know, in closing, I just want to say once again, you know, we just need to be willing. How many of us quench the Spirit? How many times have you sat in church and the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and you felt like that you should stand up and praise God? And the devil says, well, they've heard that before. You know. Or, well, my goodness, it's time to dismiss. You know, if we don't get out of here soon, we won't be able to get a seat at the restaurant. You know? Listen, and so we suppress. That's what quench means. We suppress the Holy Spirit and we don't let Him work. And so that's what I'm talking about, communicating the wonderful works of God. Every saved person in here today could stand up and you could tell about the wonderful works of God. You might not be able to preach a sermon, but you can tell about that wonderful thing that happened to you when you got saved. About how the burden and the trouble that was in your heart was taken away, and how the peace of God came in, and how the joy of the Lord flooded your soul. There's joy in being obedient. You read the book of Acts. I challenge you to do this. You count how many times the word joy about the disciples and what they was doing and the effect that it had on people. And it talks about the joy. 21 times in the book of Acts, it talks about the joy that they got out of serving the Lord. I have an obligation as a preacher to do my duty. And I want to be faithful to my Lord. But you know, I don't do it just out of duty. I do it out of joy. I get a lot of joy out of trying to serve the Lord. And I want us to be able to witness and experience that move of the Holy Spirit. I want us to be able to experience the joy that comes with it. I believe if we can do that, we'll be able to see people born again, saved by the grace of God. I just want to challenge you today. If that Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and I know that you know it. If you've been saved, you know His voice. And if He speaks to you and He gives you a little nudge, you know, say, you ought to tell them about when you were saved. Or Maybe just, I just want to praise the Lord for saving my soul. You don't have to make a long, drawn-out talk, you know. You don't have to tell about everything that you can think of. All we need to do is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works in the church. When we're willing, and we'll move when He speaks to us, God will do for us what we cannot do. That's the way it works. I pray that God will bless the message today. I hope you got something out of it. I did. I'm not saying I got a blessing out of my preaching, but I did get a blessing from the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for that. I wonder today if there's anybody who has anything you'd like to say. Amen. Yes.
A lot of people, if we just spoke to one. And we have that obligation to tell what God has done for us. And so I want to praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy and try in my little weak way to mention Him to somebody that's coming to
you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Collins. Anyone else?
Salvation, you could die standing in your bedroom.
Yes.
Tonight, tomorrow. Oh, friend, don't put salvation off.
Amen.
I've heard so many stories about people putting it off, stalling and dying. We know where they're at.
Yeah, Lord. Hey.
I thank the Lord that morning for salvation. Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes.
There was no fear. There was never no scare. I knew that. Even if the Lord called me on the phone, Lord, I'm ready to go. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And what He did. Oh, seek your salvation.
Amen.
I beg you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jackson. Anyone else? All right. Now, you don't have to be in church, as Dr. Collins said, to give your testimony. You know, it's good for us to encourage one another with our testimonies. And it's good for the lost that are sitting in our presence to hear the testimony. Especially young children that are coming to the years of accountability. It's important that they know what to do when they feel that condemnation of sin, you know. And so don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And don't be backward, you know. Don't be embarrassed to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, you know. Best thing that could happen to you, you know. I believe in patriotism. I believe in standing with your hand over your heart to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I believe in honoring the office of the president. You know, and all other offices, the mayor here in town. In fact, I thank a lot of that man. But don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Stand up. Let everybody know you're a Christian. All right. If all minds are free, we're going to have a closing prayer. Thank you for coming.
The Bible also tells us how it's like the wind blows.